Ready to shed some more light on the picture?
Amen.
Keep the lights, the lamps burning. I've been talking to a lot of people this week on the boat without saying a word. There's questions being asked. Sometimes just shine the light being you. And that lampstand right there is very important. That represents us right there. You get the picture whenever you understand what a lampstand is. And the biggest thing I've been saying to a lot of people is, you know, when they ask about Christianity, what I believe, where we are, I always tell them, I say, look, you're never going to understand the Bible or anything fully until you go left to Matthew. You got to go to the beginning of your book. It's so simple to go to the beginning of a book. We go to the beginning of a book, books and books and books. I've never heard or seen anybody go grab a book off a shelf and start in the middle. But for some reason, the church starts a book in the middle, the Bible, the Eternal Life Bible. So I've been telling everybody, you know, like one guy was asking me today, he's like, you know, I've been seeing you wear those little things on your side. What is that? So I said, you know, I'll explain it to you the best I can. I said, but you know, I know you've been in a Christian realm before. He goes, oh yeah. He said, I know I've heard stories about the Bible being taken out of place. It's not in order. Some of the books are out of order. He said, yeah, what is that? So, you know, I said, there's a lot of things I can explain to him. Say, for example, do you know what a lampstand is? I know you read a Bible before. He goes, yeah, I read a Bible, but what is a lampstand? I said, you see my point exactly. I said, you go to the beginning of your book and you start reading it, you'll understand what a lampstand is. And so I explained a little bit of a lampstand, and I said, this is what that represents, me understanding what that is and obeying the commands of God. And he goes, so that's basically for you. I said, yeah, it's for me. And I didn't go no much further than that, but, you know, you will never understand what that is until you read the beginning of your book. And it's in there and explains what a lampstand is. And you know, it's pretty incredible learning about the menorah, the Hebrew word for the lampstand. It starts with mem. And we're charter guys, we're fishermen. Since I was a kid, I've always been on the water. But the water still today is fascinating. It's deep. It's got all kind of creatures in there. And it got so much unknown. They got depths of thousands and thousands of feet, miles and miles deep, stuff that's unknown. And so in the mem, you have the waters. It also represents the unknown. And so when I was going through these studies and reading it, it brought me back to Bereshit, back to Genesis. He says, it was darkness. It was chaos. And Yehovah brooded over those waters and brought out and said, let there be light. And there was light. And in the same way, we one day was walking along in this world of darkness. And he said, Jesse. Or he said, Scott. Or he said, Linda. And our eyes opened up, and we began to seek him. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he did. Amen. And he shared with us what a menorah is. The vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches. And then the gold, the beaten gold, represents, you get into his word, and you start reading his word, and it reflects and sheds the light on our flaws and our sin and evil inclination that we have to get rid of the sin. And the impurities, just like fine gold is refined, and it gets refined, and that represents us. The menorah represents us. Fine gold. We become pure and pure the more we obey his commands and quit sinning. And then you have the oil that comes from the olives. The olives are crushed, and it represents us digging into his word, searching out the scriptures, searching out all his word, and understanding, and hearing, and guarding, and doing everything he says, and it becomes pure oil to put in the lamp. And the more we learn and the more we read, the more we store up, we're having containers to put in there to keep our lamp burning. That's why I wake up in the morning and we search for it. In the evening, we search for it. And we ask him continually to bring all the things to our remembrance that he says. And now we come out of darkness, now he puts us in the wilderness. And in the wilderness is where we're learning to not do certain things to get rid of Mishreem. Mishreem, Egypt is the habits, all the bad habits. And when things ain't going our way, we want to always want to convert back to that because it seems like it's the easiest route. We think about the good things. That's what they complained about. Why can't we have the fish? Why can't we have the handouts? We're supposed to be relying on Yehovah for everything. It's pretty neat whenever you don't know how the day is going to go. And you say, Father, I don't know when, where, or how, but I'm going to apply myself the best that I can. And when it happens, it happens. And it becomes a hallelujah because you really don't know how it's going to happen. He does a beautiful picture of it. But if you want to be in control of it, you want to be in chaos back in those times again, you can go ahead. He'll let you have control. Remember the scripture said, he said that we have control over our lives. We can do what we want with them. But it's up to us to do the right thing. And I was thinking about Brother Rob this week. I went back and looked at what he talked about in the Midrash, in Isaiah chapter 60. Because Isaiah chapter 60 starts out, arise, shine, arise, shine. It's talking about the light. It's already talking about that. That's what we're talking about in chapter 8 of Bamidbar, of Aharon. Go and light the menorah. And so I'd like to read over that just a little bit. Because in there, you know, I was listening to Brother Rob, but I didn't quite get some things until I went back and looked over, and he's right. The silver represents the redemption money. We got paid, we are bought back with a price. And then the gold is refined. We learn to be refined back into the original, the Torah, his pure, untainted word, eternal life. And then it's about the future to come. We're working now to get ourselves prepared for the future that is to come. It's not here yet, and it's in Revelation 21 it talks about, but let's go over just a little bit. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the esteem of Yehovah has risen upon you. You see how it goes together? But you don't know that if you don't go left to Matthew and read that. You won't know or understand what he's talking about there. It says, for look, darkness covers the earth. And that's where we were. And there is darkness on this earth right now. And this age is very dark. And he keeps us from going back there as long as we stay with our lamps lit. When our lamps aren't no longer lit and darkness creeps back in, we're in a world of trouble. Because we may think we're okay because a man can think he's all right. Doesn't make it right. Just because a man thinks doesn't make it right. It says, but Yehovah arises over you, and his esteem, his glory, his kavod is seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light and sovereigns to the brightness of your rising. And you know, we might get kicked around and beat up a little bit from certain individuals and things going on around us in the world, but there's certain individuals that see the light and they're coming. They're coming. And it's not about the numbers. In the church, it's not about the big numbers. It's all about those who are just willing to be humble and listen and let the set apart spirit guide us and direct us. You know, my wife was sharing with me. She said she needed to go and see her cousin Brandy, and they had some things going on up there. Let Casey visit her cousins and all. And she didn't know exactly the detail that what it was all going to be about. You know, she didn't want to leave me, and I love being around my wife. I don't like my wife to go nowhere. And I would want to be with her, but I had to work that day. If I didn't have to work that day, I was gone with her. That's where I was going to be. I love being with my wife. But she gets up there and she comes back. And the next day, then they send the prayer text out. You know, Callan's mom had that happen. And she had a great time talking to her. You don't know how it's going to go, what it's for, but you just listen. I just want you to hear, like Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, like Pastor was talking about. They wasn't, you know, the smartest, but it's because they wanted to listen. They were listening to the Father. Those who are listening to the Father, he can use you, but if you don't want to listen, he can't use you. The nation shall come to your light and sovereigns to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. All them have gathered, they have come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are supported on the side. Then you shall see and be bright. And it keeps talking about light in there. You shall be bright, and your heart shall throb and swell, for the wealth of the sea is turned to you. The riches of the nations come to you. A stream of camels cover your land, dromedaries, a Midian, and Ephah. All those from Sheba come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of Yehovah. And when you read these terms, incense, just these little words, after going through all the Torah portions over and over and over, they stick out. The most incredible thing that stuck out to me this week where I went, ah, was when he was talking about Aharon taking the menorah and shining on the showbread, and the showbread represented the tribes of Israel, and Yeshua is over there talking to the Jews, speaking to them. When he speaks, he's the light, he's the menorah shining on them. I'm like, oh, he's shedding a light on them. And it was irritating them because it was supposed to change some things. They didn't want to change those things. But he was shining his light on them, and he was explaining in great detail exactly what the words say. And we're going to go through some of those things tonight. I wrote a lot of those things down, if we can get there. We'll see if we can get there. And you can read the rest of this. I'm not going to read the rest of it. Brother Rob did a good job reading all of this. But we had homework. I would say homework. I had some homework. I remember Pastor mentioned, you know, in the Midrash, he said, you know, what you need to do with each Torah portion when you start, you need to make a summary. And I was asking the Lord for that. I was asking the Father, I was like, how can I, instead of jumping on the slides, you can jump around and you can start on something somewhere. But I find it better the way he explained. He says, you need to get at the beginning of the Torah portion and read it through and summarize it. And so that's what I did. I went and summarized it, and it helped out. And so I went through chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Chapter 8 was about Aharon lighting the menorah, the light, and about the Levites, setting the Levites apart. And then chapter 9 was the Pesah and the cloud, following his cloud by day. And chapter 10 was about the trumpets and about departing. Chapter 11 was about the complainers and lusting and a curse. You get what you ask for. And in chapter 12 was words spoken against leadership, was words spoken against Jehovah. And so that gave me a little summary. And so I went through them and read through them, and I jotted down my little notes on each one. And I was sitting there thinking about it, and so I went ahead and wrote a little summary, a little paragraph. All the chapters of Baha'alaka in a summary, I find says this for my life. From 8 through 12, it says, keep your lamps burning. Remember my appointed times. My spirit will guide you on each day's journey, knowing when, where, and how. Gather and eat the manna. Don't complain. You'll get what you ask for. Give thanks in all things I set before you. Don't crave anything from Mishreim, and do not speak against leadership, for I am he who goes before you. And that's chapter 8, 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. There's five of them, right? 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. So I made me a little summary now. Now, when we go into the next Torah portion, that's how I'm going to start off tomorrow. I'm going to go, I'm going to read the whole thing through, and I'm going to make me a little summary. And then I'll go into my slides. Or wherever the Spirit of Yehovah leads you. It may not be with a slide. It may be just reading through the Torah portion in each chapter, and he might grab onto you with something and show you something you never seen before. And remember, each Torah portion will continually bring all things to our remembrance that he says. So in John chapter 14, verses 24 through 31, this is just remembering what he says through each Torah portion. He who does not love me does not guard my words. Remember, it's about his words. We've got to learn to speak his words. It's not my words. Yeshua said that over and over again. It's not my words. Remember, the book wasn't about Yeshua's life. Yeshua didn't write his own book. It was about the book that Jehovah provided. He said, you'll be the living Torah. You'll be my constitution. And that's what he was. And that's what he is today. He's at his right hand, and I picture Yeshua like Yah holding a book in his right arm. He's the living Torah. He's the Constitution. And the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me. These words I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My shalom, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Remember, the world is darkness. I don't give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard that I said to you, I am going away and I'm coming to you. If you did love me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I have told you before it takes place that when it does take place, you shall believe. I shall no longer talk much with you, for the rule of this world is coming, and he possesses none at all in me. But in order for the world to know that I love the Father, and that as the Father commanded me, so I am doing, rise up and let us go from here. And that's what he said, and that's what we do each day, each Torah portion. We get up and we rise from here. Now, chapter 9, we're going to go into chapter 8 in a little bit, but chapter 9 got my attention. In chapter 9, Bamidbar, chapter 9, 15 through 23, because it reminded me of position is everything. Position is everything. You got to remember that. Position is everything. You got to stay where you're told. When he says go, you go. You don't know where, when, or how each day is going to go. Me and my family prays that night before we lie here in our bed. We remember this. We don't forget. We don't know what's going on outside. We don't know about robbers and thieves. We don't know what's going on out there. We're resting and sleeping. We have no idea. And so we look up to Yehovah to shield us and protect us, all of our stuff and our belongings that we have, that he's going to take care of us. We don't know what's going on tonight. So, Father, we just thank you for watching over us as we sleep. And we thank you for when we wake up in the morning and we get our breath and we talk to him from there. Position is everything. Bamidbar 19, 15 through 23. And on the day that the dwelling place was raised up, the cloud covered the dwelling place, the tent of witness. From evening unto morning, it was above the dwelling place like the appearance of fire. And when I'm reading this, I'm just thinking of the set-apart Spirit. Set-apart Spirit guides us and counsels us in everything. It's like Yeshua is right here talking with us and what we need to do. At best, we try to think about and reason in our mind what to do. But we can't let the flesh show us and lead us. We got to let him lead us because his word is true and it's the final authority in everything. Thus it was continually. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, after that the children of Israel would depart. And in the place where the cloud dwelt, there the children of Israel would camp. At the mouth of Yehovah, the children of Israel departed. And at the command of Yehovah, they camped. They remained camped as long as the cloud dwelt above the dwelling place. Even when the cloud lingered many days above the dwelling place, the children of Israel guarded the charge of Yehovah and did not depart. And so it was, when the cloud was above the dwelling place a few days, according to the mouth of Yehovah, they camped. And according to the mouth of Yehovah, they would depart. And so it was, when the cloud dwelt only from evening unto morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they departed. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they departed. Whether 2 days or a new moon or a year that the cloud lingered above the dwelling place to dwell upon it, the children of Israel camped and did not depart. But when it was taken up, they departed. At the mouth of Yehovah they camped, and at the mouth of Yehovah they departed. They guarded the charge of Yehovah at the mouth of Yehovah by the hand of Moshe. He said it so many times, we ought to get this in our being. When he says to stay, you stay. When he says to go, you go. When the messenger says, this is what we're doing, we're going to do Wednesdays, we're going to do Fridays, we're going to do Shabbats, don't give him no lip. We're going to do that. It's for a reason. He knows what he's doing. We might, go ahead and read what happened to him in the wilderness. Only two. All they're complaining. And I had never seen that before in the scriptures when he said, as they complained and they wanted meat. I didn't think about that. They had all all the meat they wanted, all the cattle, all the food that they wanted right there. It wasn't about that. It was about the bad habits that they came from. The place that they were was easy, but they was in prison. And so I was like, man, that makes so much more sense now. But like he said, we got to go back and we got to read it slow. We just got to read it slow. But in the place we are today, going through each Torah portion, taking our time with it, and every Shabbat, all his set apart times, all his appointed times, all his feast days, everything that he's telling us to do. He says, stay here, go there, stay here, dress this up, dress that up. Go here, do this, do that. That's what we got to do. So I'm going to do one more little briefing starting in chapter 8, just a little briefing. So Bamidbar chapter 8 was the lighting of the menorah, and the Levites cleansed and chosen. Aharon will go up to light the menorah. The menorah and the lampstand also represents us trimming our wick and keeping our oil in our lamp. And we shine on the showbread, representing the 12 tribes, all done according to the pattern that Yehovah has shown Moshe. And that's what I get to tell a lot of people now that I know. We talk about Moses, and we say, but remember, it wasn't Moses that came up with this stuff. It was all according to the pattern that Yah showed Moses. We go over this and over this and over this and over this. Now we understand. And then we're getting the Brit Hadishah. We understand. I was telling somebody that yesterday. Now we understand what they're saying when you hear what Paul says, Shaul, and what they was talking about. When you read all the Brit Hadishah, now you understand clearly what they're talking about. But if you don't go back to the beginning of your book and study and learn the beginning, you're going to make up stuff and you don't understand what's going on. And somebody might have a little shadow over the stuff over here because, you know, I was thinking about the Wizard of Oz. Brother Rob thinks about cartoons. I think about the Wizard of Oz. Every time somebody tries to pull the wool over your eyes, you know, you got the guy back there doing all the tricks behind a little curtain, and there's, I'm the Oz, and this and that. And the whole time, the little dog goes back there and he moves the curtain. He's, I'm the Oz. I done got caught. So how many churches today are just kind of covered? Hey, you don't need to go to the Old Testament. We don't need that. We just cover it up. Man, I'd rather they know it or not have been taught that. Why don't we go back and look at it? What are you trying to hide? We need to go look back in there and see what it is. If it was Yah from the beginning, what are you afraid of? Let's go look. You're afraid to go see they might have somebody trying to control the things behind there the whole time? That's what might be what's happening. That might be what's going on. The men and the traditions and religions of men is in control. That's who's in charge of it. Not Yehovah. That's why things don't make no sense. That's why it keeps contradicting each other, because man's making it up. That's why Yeshua caught them in their schemes and their lies with the woman that was caught in adultery. They wanted to go to Leviticus. Well, let's go to Numbers. Let's go read that a little bit. Where's the man? Where's the name of Yehovah? Oh, that's a beautiful picture, and it's sitting right there. But if you never read it, you'll never understand what he's talking about. You just make up stuff. All done according to the pattern of Yehovah shown to Moshe. In many cases, Yeshua was the light. He's the constitution, the words of Yehovah shining, exposing and bringing to light every situation, shining on the tribes like the light on the showbread. Now, staying in the light and keeping the light burning, well, we don't need to talk about that. I was going to explain a little bit about the light exposing errors, but you already know that with the light, what the word does, it exposes things. But in chapter 9, is about Pesach, one of the feast days, the most important one, and the cloud. Remembering and performing Pesach the second year after the actual Pesach in the wilderness of Sinai. It's the first new moon on the 14th day. Those who missed the second new moon, God gave them another chance, a 14th day. When the cloud stayed, they stayed. When the cloud moved, they moved. We just talked about that. 2 days, a month, a year, they stayed, and they moved as the cloud would stay or move. And chapter 10 was about the trumpets for gathering and breaking camp. They depart for the first time according to their divisions and their orders. Everything was done in order. We talked about that in the prior chapters when it talked about the east and then to the south and the west and back to the north again. And everything went in a certain order and a pattern. Everything was in militaristic style. Everything was according to number and division. And that's how the Father does things, in order and division. And that was an example. It was the first divisions was Yehuda, Issachar, and Zebulun. They departed first, and so on. Chapter 11 was about the complainers and about the manna. Jehovah's displeasure burned, lusting for the bad habits from Mishraim, or the world, the darkness. Many reject Jehovah for the way it was in Mishraim. And this is a question that he asked. He says, is the arm of Jehovah too short? I got up this morning, I got to the dock, pastor took off, and I said, he's going to that red buoy, but I said, you know what? Is the arm of Yehovah too short? And look, I'm cruising down Tiger Pass. I said, where I'm going? He said, go try the green one. I said, you're right. I caught him at the green one. Boom! I hit an alligator, he got caught underneath the motor, and his head and his tail was out the water like that, and the water was flying. I was going 35 miles an hour, and I was like, my goodness. I said, what in the world? He's like, I think he's gone. I said, yeah. Ooh, we got him good. I didn't mean it. I'm just cruising, and he just come in front of my path. I didn't see him. I'm telling you, I thought I had a log, but I was like, man, I knew it wasn't a log. That was too soft. And I mean, that poor alligator, he was done for. So I got back on the road again and went out there, and hey, we had an incredible day today. They caught fish, we caught fish, everything was provided for. Look, is my arm too short that I can't provide for you? You got to quit using this. Quit using this. Trust in Yehovah in all your heart. Lean on your understanding and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I'm telling you. Chapter 12, Miriam spoke against leadership. Remember Za'arat? It wasn't leprosy. That wasn't spoken of back then. It was Za'arat. And Yehovah chose Moshe in a basket. The word spoken against leadership is actually the word spoken against Yehovah. Yehovah calls Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam to the tent of appointment. And we talked about that last year. When I listened to the message again, when you hear him call for the meeting and appointment, it's like, come on up to the office. Oh, somebody's in trouble now. Every time we get called to the office, oh, here we go again. How many times we got called to the office last year? I can't even count on my fingers. Oh, my gosh. So, hey, look. He said, I'm going to remove wagging tongues and unsupported personalities. I'll supply with unlimited labors for the harvest fields of your soul. Want all you want, dream all you want, and I'll build it for you. And that came trying to figure it out, and we couldn't figure it out until we read the Torahs. That's when we figured it out. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. We talked about the Levites had to be shaven. And that was a Hebrew word, and shaven doesn't mean completely shaved bald. Shaven in the Hebrew was just like, hey, I'm going to get my hair clipped. Maybe I'll use number 5, number 6, number 2, or maybe number 1. It's just a clipping, a shaving. So we got to understand things in their, you know, history, their language, and their context. If you don't understand the history, language, and context, you might get deceived in some of the English translations without going back and read it in its Hebrew meaning. And there was an animal sacrifice for the Levites because just like us, they have an evil inclination. We all have evil inclinations. And so they had to be atoned for through the sacrifice of the animals, make them clean. Had to come before Him clean. Now we're going to go to John chapter 14, 6 and 7. There's two verses. Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Remember, He's the Constitution. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on, you know Him and have seen. And so when we're reading through the Torah, we learn everything in the Torah and the Tanakh and all the prophets, we're going to understand who Yeshua is. There is no other way. So as we learn all the order and the detail, Yehovah told Moshe and Aharon and Yisrael, we find it all in Yeshua, the Constitution written in the flesh. So before we used to believe it was God in the flesh. We read John. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word became, He became flesh and dwelt among us. And He became a man. He became a baby in diapers and all. But now we go back and start from the beginning and read. Now we read that Yeshua was the living Torah made flesh and dwelt among us. And He was the menorah that was lit on the showbread on the 12 tribes when He came from the heavens. He Himself, the flesh, didn't come, but the manna came. The constitution came. And he put Himself in order, and that's exactly what He was. He couldn't be anything else because that's what He was made to be. He said, I can't be anything else because I won't exist. That's what He was created to be. In John chapter 8, verses 12 through 19, and, you know, we'll find Yeshua. Therefore, he says, Yeshua, therefore, Yeshua spoke to them in chapter 8, 12 through 19, spoke to them again, saying, I am the light. Now, remember, in this Torah portion, we're in the light. We're in the menorah. We're talking about the light. So there's a lot of scriptures you can look up on the light. And when you read in the Brit Hadashah, after you read it in the Torah, you understand what he's talking about clearly and how it applies to each and every one of us as his light bearers. Every one of us is a light bearer. My wife went up there representing him. She was a light bearer. Pastor gets up here and he's teaching, he's a light bearer. We go on a job on a boat, we're light bearers. We're supposed to be light bearers. Don't hide your light under a basket. But it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness. We have to continually say and do the things that he said and did and not walk in darkness, because that's where he pulled us from. We don't want to go back there again. But possess the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness about yourself. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your witness is not true. And Yeshua answered and said to them, even if I witness concerning myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come or where I go. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. And in your Torah also it has been written that the witness of two men is true. I am one who witnesses concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me. Therefore they said to him, where is your Father? And Yeshua answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father also. You can't add and you can't take away from the word of Yehovah. Because if you take away or add to the word of Yehovah, you're going to go into darkness and you're going to go into a lie. When you remove the truth and you remove light, you go right back into darkness and a lie. And you don't even realize it. He's the one who pulled us out of darkness with his words. It's his words. Adding or taking away from what is light and truth brings darkness and lies. It cannot be altered at all. Darkness and lies enters in and takes over. If we know Yeshua, we are in the light and truth. So that's why we got to get to know him more. We got to continue to learn more. We got to spend more time. We got to get in there and squeeze the olives. We got to get in there and get the pure oil. Learn of him. Learn of him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's going to produce in us eternal life. That's never going to end. We'll be the meek ones of the earth who inherit the earth. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. You know, you never realize how much you get if you just spend a little hour or two in the morning, a little hour or two in the evening. Sometimes it doesn't seem like you get a whole bunch. But over a period of time, it builds and it builds and it builds and it sustains you. It's light and it's life to you. And you won't give in to the lies and the trickery of the enemy or when your evil inclination wants to try and rise up. You override it with what is truth. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be found a what? A liar. Deuteronomy 4:2. Devarim 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2, do not add to the word which I command you, do not take away from it, so as to guard the commands of Yehovah your Elohim, which I am commanding you. There's many other references on that one. It's, you can go look in your Esau, Deuteronomy 12:32, Proverbs 30, verse 6, and Revelations 22:18-19. Revelations 22:18-19. I'm telling you that Esau, it helps out a lot with references, because you're just looking and studying in one scripture, and you look down at the references, and you go jump to that one and go jump to that. Before you know it, you can put them all together. It's incredible. Revelations 22:18-19. For I witness to everyone hearing the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them. Where do you get this from in Revelations, I wonder? You got them from the beginning of the book. It wasn't just made up by when John went and heard from Yeshua and wrote it down in Revelations. It was way back in the beginning. He says, if anyone adds to them, Elohim shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And I mean, if you want to go back to Egypt and read about what happened to them for being in rebellion, they wouldn't listen. They got plagued after plague after plague. And those who didn't put the borders around the door, the blood around the doorpost, their firstborn died. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the set apart city. You don't belong there. Darkness don't belong in there. Wickedness, people who do adultery, all those wicked things don't belong there. And when I say adultery, I'm not talking about just between a man and a woman. I'm talking about whenever you know Elohim and you still refuse to do what he says to do, you become an adulteress. You're cheating. You're playing around on him. You can't stay in between two. Choose this day whom you may serve. You want to serve Baal? Go back and go serve Baal. I don't want nothing to do with that disgusting stuff. I don't want to have anything to do with that. It's got death in it. It's got a stench and stink to it. We're learning what's clean and unclean. He doesn't like death. He loves life. First John. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 10. The word of life, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and announce to you that everlasting life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We announce to you what we have seen and heard, so that you too might have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Yeshua Messiah. And we write this to you in order that your joy might be complete, walking in the light. And this is the message which we have heard from Him and announced to you, that Elohim is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are atoned for by His blood, and when we continually read and obey and do what He commands us to do, we're washed and cleansed from all sin and unrighteousness. We're walking in the light, and we're clean and pure, a sweet-smelling fragrance before Him. In 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we're misleading ourselves. Because even Shaul even said it. I have sin in me. He talks about it. He has to deal with the evil inclination. When I'm trying to do right, evil's present. But he's learned how to take control of it with the word of Yehovah and listen to a set apart spirit and stay in tune. If we say that we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us, because He said we got it in us. If we say we don't, we're calling Him a liar. And in John chapter 8, verse 19, I went over this again after we talked about the woman that was caught in adultery. And I talked about what he had said to them. And there was just some verses here that I thought were needing to be read in verses 19 through 24. He says, "Therefore they said to him, 'Where's your father?' And Yeshua answered, 'You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would have known my father also.' These words Yeshua spoke in the treasury, teaching in the set apart place, and no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Therefore Yeshua said to them again, 'I am going away, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Where I go, you are unable to come.' And then the Yehudim said, 'Shall he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you are unable to come.' And he said to them, 'You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.'" They were covered in darkness because of adding and taking away from the words of Yah. And he was shining light on the picture saying, if you don't believe in me, I'm the Constitution. If you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. And that's how he says it to them. And that's how we got the answers by reading in the Torah and understanding what the Constitution is. Now we see. Now you see what's going on here, what's being portrayed. Now we're going to go to, and I know we're in Baha'aloka, Hebrew for when you ascend. And we talked about Numbers 8 through chapter 12 and half Torah and Zechariah chapter 2, 14 through 4, 7. And we talked about there is no verse 14, but it's like a verse 13 when you read it. So when you go and read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 14, there is no 14, it's 13. So in the Midrashes, that's why it's important to come to Midrashes, because you learn a lot in the Midrash. It's just up to you how much more interest you have in learning from Yehovah, if you have the time. You know, that's up. You know, everybody's got different times and things that they have to do. Okay, now we're going to go to slide 42. The lampstand. And we just talked about the lampstand, about the menorah. The seven lights of the menorah also picture for us the seven feasts of Yehovah. That is critical for us. It also brings to our remembrance the seven feasts. It also brings the remembrance of Shabbat, the seventh day. It also is the spirit of Yehovah, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and it goes through all of those. That is critical for us as his body to be keeping as it reveals his wonderful plan of redemption, to which we walk in the light as children of light. And we also know that lampstand in Hazan, Revelation, speaks of the seven assemblies, that is the fullness of his body among whom he walks in the midst of. And the Hebrew word for lampstand is menorah. That word is very important, even in its Hebrew letters and meanings, like the mem, the nun, the resh, and the he. Strong's H4501, which simply means lampstand. However, what we realize and recognize is that the lampstand speaks of Messiah being the branch, with us being the branches, as also pictured through the parable of the vine and the branches, and without him, we are unable to bear fruit or shine the light of his truth. So when we break off of him and go and do our own thing, we're no longer getting the truth from him. We're no longer getting the light from him. We're no more bearing fruit from him. We're no more connected to the root. We'll be burned, thrown into the fire. So that's where you get all that from. When you read the Brit Hadashah, you get a clear understanding when you find out what a menorah is. And its Hebrew meaning, its history, its language, and its context. which simply means lamps, and however that we realize and recognize the lamp stands, speaks to the branches. Also pictured through the parable of the vine and branches, without him we're unable to bear fruit or shine the light of his truth. We'll be on our own. You know what on our own gets us? Lost in the dark. When one looks at the early script with the pictograph symbols of this word menorah, we see a wonderful illustration of the work of Messiah. In the early script, the Hebrew word menorah, Strong's H4501, looks like this. And remember, it reads right to left. You have the mem, you have the nun, you have the vav, you have the resh, and you have the he. The mem, well, as we talked about, water and chaos. It was about the unknown. We're also able to understand it also represents the nations, like the seas, likened to the seas in Scripture. And so I got mem in my head all the time. When I'm on the waters, riding on the waters, in the unknown, I'm always thinking about the letter mem. It's fascinating to me, the letter mem. Nun is about life. This letter is about a seed. Seeds produce life. When we plant a seed, it grows a plant and produces fruit. In continuation, the offspring on air. And Yeshua is that beginning of offspring that's going into the kingdom that's going to produce those of life. Speaking of that which sprouts forth in continuation in one's life expectancy. Vav, the ancient pictograph is like a tent peg or a nail. It keeps it grounded. It's a Y shape to hook. And then we have resh. It's like the head of a man. It's the chief, the top, beginning, a first. The head of a tribe or people is known as one who rules the people. And then the hay. The hay is a revelation or understanding or to behold, to breathe. As we look at a great sight and having your breath taken away, so to speak, it also has the meaning of a revelation or to reveal something or pointing it out. When we look at these letters, we can see an awesome picture of how the lampstand clearly speaks of Messiah, a high priest, and the head of the body. In the Hebraic mindset, water represents not only physical water, but also chaos from the storms of the sea. To the Hebrews, the sea was a feared and unknown place. For this reason, this letter, mem, is used as a question word. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And that's why I use that a lot. When I get out in the morning, I say, I don't know where, how, when, but I need your set apart spirit to guide me again. It's unknown to me where what's going to happen out there today. It's dark out there without you today. You're my light. You're my heading. You're my guidance and my counsel. So mem is a very important letter. Very important. You're going to use it in your life. The letter nun, the sprouting seed, gives the idea of continuation of an offspring heir. Speaking of that which sprouts forth will be heir of the promise of continuation. These all tie in. All of it ties in. The vav, and representing a tent peg or a nail or a hook as something as being secure. And the resh is a picture of a head of a man which speaks of headship, beginning, or first. And the hay is pictured as a man with his hands raised in air and carries the meaning of behold, as when looking at something very great, and can also mean to breathe or sigh. When looking at a great sight, and can also give the meaning of revealing a revelation, the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out. When putting the construct of these pictures together and understanding the work and ministry of Yeshua Messiah, our high priest, we can see the following being declared through the power and presence of the lampstand in the set-apart place. Out of the chaos, I'm so glad he called me out of the chaos, a seed shall spring forth. The Son, who is the appointed heir of all, who by his death and resurrection, the seed, has secured for us covenants of promise to which we have been added through his blood. And Messiah, our head, is the beginning. And behold, we fix our eyes on him. Literally, we do. When we read in our Torah and study, and we're fixing our eyes on him. As we await for the revelation of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the light of the world. And he is the light of the world. That's our Messiah. And that's who we're supposed to be like and represent. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And I went to Esau and looked this up. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2, and the earth came to be formless and empty in darkness. And I circled the word darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the waters. And verse 3 says, and Elohim said, let light come to be, and light came to be. In verse 4, and Elohim saw the light that it was good, and Elohim separated the light from the darkness. So go and look in verse 2, that word darkness in the Hebrew is Strong's H2822, which is Koshek. Koshek. And Koshek is dark, is ignorance, and is there was a certain word in here I was looking for. It's just darkness. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And so the same way he called to light out of darkness is the same way he called you and I out of darkness. He called our names when we was in darkness. And it says in Kepha, first Aleph Kepha, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of Elohim, who had not obtained compassion, but now obtained compassion. Beloved ones, I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which battle against the being, having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them, by observing your what? Your good works, esteem Elohim in a day of visitation. And we're learning in the Torah about good works. What are good works? Good works, when you're doing good works, you're a light bearers. Light bearers is Shabbats, feast days, Yah's dress code, his house rules, what's clean and unclean, obedience to all of Yah's constitution. As Yeshua portrayed it, so do we. That's what we are. In good works, we're being light bearers. Attendance, perfect attendance. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 12. First Peter 2, 11 through 12. Beloved ones, I appeal to you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which battle against the being, having your behavior among the nations good, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, let them, by observing your good works, esteem Elohim in the day of visitation. Now, I read that to get to an Esau, I looked up the word visitation. Circled the word visitation. And it's in the Greek, G1984, which is episcope, episcope. It says from G1980 is an inspection by implication. It's an inspection. And then the G1980, episkeptomahi, these words are hard to speak. Episkeptomahi is to inspect, is the word still inspect, to go and see, and to look out, and to visit. And so you get inspected. And you get visited by people. So that's why it's so important to learn as much as you can learn, apply as much as you can apply, and become the light bearers, because you never know when you're going to run into a situation where somebody's going to ask you a question. It's Yehovah setting you up with somebody to inspect you. Not only to inspect you to see where you are, but it may bring light unto them to bring them to Yehovah. Now, we can also do this. I don't feel like it today. You know, maybe that's not that important. This is more important. No, you know, maybe I might not do this or do that. And you start skipping out and missing some important things that you need to learn, need to know. Then all of a sudden you run into that certain person that Yehovah sends to visit you and come and maybe explain something to them, and they ask you a question, but you don't know. You never spent the time to study. You never spent the time to learn. And that's where it says where you could have had a chance, an opportunity to give something, some food to one who was poor that day. And you passed it by because you didn't spend the time. You didn't spend the time and learn, and you didn't have it ready with you, and you missed your day. They missed an opportunity of a visitation because we failed to pick up the pace and do what we was asked to do. How will they know if we don't know? We got to know. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. It says, and also, no one having a little lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those coming in see the light. See, the more time you spend in the light and spend time with Yehovah, it excites you and propels you to speak about him. But the less time you spend with him, that means the more time you spend in the darkness. When somebody asks a question, you might be afraid that you don't know it because maybe you don't know it because you didn't spend the time. That's why it's so important. Redeem the time for the days of evil. Redeem the time for the days of evil. Spend some time with Yehovah. Get to know him. Get to know him. Matthew chapter 5. But finishing reading that, covers a vessel, puts it on the bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those come in and see the light. So they can see the light. Don't cover it up. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hidden on a mountain, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Now you know what a lampstand is. You want a Brit Hadi Shah. And it shines to all those in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works. What's good works? When they see you constantly going to Shabbat, and then you show up on a Sunday at a bait shop and say, hey, you're supposed to be on church on this day. Oh, no, I go on. They're paying attention. You're letting your light shine before men. You're staying constant in what you say. You don't stay going on Shabbat, and one day you say, you know what, this ain't for me. And those people that were watching you say, oh, yep, there they go. So I don't have to go neither. That was all a hoax. It was all a bunch of baloney. People's lives are depending on you to get it right. On us. Let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works and praise your Father who is in the heavens. It's all done unto the Father to give him the glory and the honor he deserves. He gives us the instructions. We input it. We put it out there, and it makes the Father proud. He goes, he struck right again. That's it. He got to meet this one. And that was going to be a residual effect to this family and to this family. And over a long period of time, look at all those people, because you just sowed that one little seed, did this one little task, and you got through this little part. Those little things matter. Little things matter to him. And another thing I've been doing, I've been asking him a lot. I said, Father, give me the dudamus. Give me the power to obey your commands. And you know what? He's been doing it with me. You got to ask. Sometimes I just feel like, man, I ain't getting the power to do it because you're not asking. And so he said, ask. Ask me. I said, okay, I'm going to ask you. Give me the dudamus, the power to obey your commands. And things that I was wanting to do or procrastinating, I end up doing the right thing. I don't know how to explain it, but it just happens. He gives you the power to do it, and it works. So back to slide 55, 56. The supremacy of Elohim's Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, Elohim, having of old spoke in many portions, in many ways, to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So how does Jehovah speak to us? by his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all, through whom also he made the ages. In Corinthians 1:7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Master, Yeshua Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my Elohim always concerning you for the favor of Elohim, which was given to you by Messiah Yeshua, that in him you were enriched in all, in every word, in all knowledge. As the witness of Messiah was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Master Yeshua, who shall also confirm you to the end, unreprovable in the day of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Elohim is trustworthy, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Yeshua Messiah, our Master. Part of the duty of Aharon was to trim the lamps or trim the wicks, which is a duty of setting them in order as a required maintenance of the lamps that were to continually burn. This represents for us our need to continually be getting rid of those things in our lives which do not effectively support the efficient burning of the fire, which represents Jehovah's presence that we are to shine forth. You know, at my house when I light my menorah, there's a couple times that I didn't trim, and I lit them things up and they popped and left black spots all over my wall, and they just smear. That soot smears and makes a mess. And so when we trim those, we think about anything that we got hindering us or in our lives that shouldn't belong there. Maybe something we said or did. We got to make sure we repent and stay clean. We got to keep our wicks trimmed. We got to keep them trimmed. And so we got to keep them trimmed so we can have them continually burning. In Exodus and Shemot chapter 27, verses 20 through 21, so we're supposed to keep oil in our lamps, keep our wicks trimmed, and continually burning. It says in Shemot 27, verses 20 and 21, and you are to command the children of Israel to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light. It's got to be the pure word of Elohim in our lives to keep our lamps burning, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tent of appointment, outside the veil which is before the witness, Aharon and his sons are to tend it from evening until morning. And when you read everything about David, he talks about from the evening and the morning, day and night, in the morning and in the evening. His word is before me, his light is before me. And it says, before Jehovah, a law forever to their generations from the children of Israel. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the Torah of Jehovah, and he meditates in his Torah day and night. Where did David get that from? Now we're going to move on to slide 60. It is Messiah, our high priest, who trims us through his word and equips us to shine. If we do not allow his word to trim us, and that's where we get trimmed at, in the wilderness. We get trimmed really good in the wilderness. We may lose our ability to be set in order and shine as we should and risk having our lampstand removed. Beaten gold. That's what's talking about, the beaten gold. Gold refined in the fire. I give you white robes so you go before him white and clean. The lampstand was made of beaten work of gold. The Hebrew word that is translated as beaten work comes from the root word mikshah. Mikshah, Strong's H4749, which means hammered work. We don't like getting beaten. We don't like to be hammered sometimes. But I'll tell you what, in the wilderness, we've been being hammered. We've been being hammered. The assumed root of this word is kashah. Kashah, Strong's 87185, meaning hard, severe, fierce, hard-pressed, seem hard, stiffened. And what we can see from this is that in being made together Messiah as a beaten work, we recognize that it's not always easy, but it's often very hard as we do our utmost to be made into a community and form true unity. Messiah took our beating, and by his stripes we are healed. And so the pressures that we face each day, we ought to recognize as light and momentary troubles, recognizing while we may be hard-pressed, we are not crushed. As Messiah was crushed for our iniquities, and therefore we must allow his word to beat us into shape and be one in him. So we are a menorah, a lampstand, a fine beaten work, oil, wicks, burning, a burning living Torah like our master, a burning living constitution of Yehovah. And what does that look like? If you had a question, what does that look like? Read and study left of Matthew, study Yeshua, every word that he spoke and said, and that's what he looks like and what we're supposed to look like. Second Colossians 4:7. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power might be of Elohim and not of us. The power of Elohim and not of us. We quit being in charge. We quit trying to run the show. He begins running the show in our lives, and it becomes incredible. Being hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted. I was reminded of Brother Scott with Caleb. He's chewing his lip. He was almost chewing his lip off. He said, I can see it. I know where we're going. We're getting beat on every side. We're shining. We're supposed to. And you want to go do it. I see it. And all the way down to the 40 years. How many? 40 years they went through all of that. I asked Pastor that the other day. He said, I got a little bit left. I said, man, it's hey, but we're getting beaten into being fine work of Elohim. It's his. It's his handiwork. Let him do it. Being hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Being persecuted, but not forsaken. Being thrown down, but not destroyed. And when we was talking about that earlier in the last couple of scriptures, when they speak bad of you and they put you down, don't revel back at them. Let them so they can see your good works. You keep it in pace. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. That'll fizzle out and burn. I promise you. In the flesh, you'll burn yourself out. You won't burn out with Yehovah. He'll keep you primed up and strengthened for the task. I know the plans I have for you, says Yehovah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Master Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our body. For we, the living, are always delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death indeed is working in us, but the life in you. And you know, I've been learning these past couple of weeks, a lot of things that your flesh tells you that's really important, you think you need, you got to have. You get trained and weaned onto Yehovah. It wasn't really all that what you thought it was. Your mind tricks you into believing or thinking that it's mine. I wanted this, that. And you're like little children tossed to and fro. But after you grow and mature, you're like, you know, it really wasn't that bad. But your mind makes you, in the habits that you had in Egypt, makes you think that it was, and you needed. You got to. So, for we, the living, are always delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death indeed is working in us, but the life in you. We're putting away the deeds of the flesh, and we're putting on eternal life. That's what we're doing. Little by little, piece by piece. And we're not going to get it all the way till if he returns first, because we're going to have 1,000 years to continue to learn and put on eternal life. The lampstand was made Well, let me see where I'm at. I'm going to go to slide 72. We only got 10 minutes left. This is 72 and 73. It is through the one-time atoning sacrifice of Messiah that we will to have. I wanted to get to this because the Torah, this word is very important. Very, very important. It's through the sacrifice of Messiah that he will tahar, Strong's H2891, his bride. Aharon was told to cleanse the Levites, and so too do we see that it is our high priest, Yeshua, who cleanses us from the dead works to serve the living Elohim. The word tahar, Strong's H2891, carries great insight for us as we understand that a derivative of this word is tahorah, tahorah, Strong's H2893, which means cleansing and purifying. So as we continually reading and learning and applying ourselves to the Torah, it's cleansing us. So the atoning blood brought us back, and then the word is going to continue to cleanse us and purify us. That's what it does, the Torah. As we look at the Hebrew word Torah, Psalms H2893, we see a wonderful picture in this word alone that speaks of our need to come to Messiah who cleanses us from all sin. Why I say this is because we look at the ancient symbols of these letters, we get a clearer picture of this very message of this Torah of cleansing contained in just one word. This word Torah, H2893, read right to left of the letters Tet, He, Resh, and He. When you see this word as written in the ancient pictograph script, we see the message very clearly that, let me show you, the original pictograph of these letters are as follows. And that's the Tet, the He, the Resh, and the Tet. The Tet was a container, a wicker, a clay. And think of a body. The containers were a very important item among the nomadic Hebrews. They were used for storing grains and other items. Wicker baskets were used as nets for catching fish. A basket, vessel, a store, or a clay vessel. Hey. Hey was a man standing with his arms raised to behold, to look, breathe, sigh, reveal, a revelation, and a surrender. And in the race was the head of a man, the chief, the top, the beginning, or the first. And in terms of the cleansing, we're having the blood of Messiah. The Torah, Strong's H2893, the following message. We, as clay baskets, we come and surrender to him and raise our hands in acknowledgement of his perfect atonement. We confess our sins, lawlessness before our head and high priest, Yeshua Messiah. And we put our lives in the hands of him who lifts us up from the miry clay and makes us clean and purifies us from all unrighteousness. Remember, the earth is Jehovah's. We're from the dust of the earth, which he created. And from dust we came and dust we return. He animates us, and we're supposed to be clean and pure and eternal, what he made us from the beginning, Adam and Eve. We're not supposed to be this wicked, wicked, evil inclination that we use to lead us and guide us and direct us through sin, which leads to death. But now we're getting back by going back to his Torah. And he's purifying us and he's cleansing us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 16, I'm going to end right here. Timotheos chapter 1, 15 through 16. Trustworthy is the word. Trustworthy. And worthy of all acceptance. That Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners. And Shaul says, of who I am foremost. He says, I'm full of sin. I got it too. I got the evil inclination too. I am foremost. But because of this, I received compassion so that in me first, Yeshua Messiah might display all patience as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Amen. So he knows he has the evil inclination that resides in him, but he keeps his lamp burning. Read about Shaul. He kept his lamp burning all the way to the death. He kept his lamp burning. So how do we keep darkness out and evil inclination under control? Keep the lamp burning and keep a container full of oil. That's what we must do on a daily basis every day. So let's continue in our next Torah portion, getting our next Torah portion. Let's read over it, make a summary, come out with your own, maybe your paragraph that might help you like it helped me in my daily living, because this bleeds into the revelation through the Brit Hadishah of how the church did it, and now we're going to do it, and we're going to continue to apply it until he returns, as it talked about in Isaiah chapter 60, in the future that's coming. And so, amen. Anybody?